The following program contains graphic material, including offensive language. Viewer discretion is advised.
She's got the news. She talks with newsmakers. She encourages us to laugh, and she cries with us. Speaking truth to power and questioning authority daily, it's the Nicole Sandler Show.
All right, welcome to a Thursday. I'm Nicole Sandler, coming to you live at NicoleSandler.com on the Progressive Voices Network, streaming video on Periscope, Twitch, Facebook Live, and counting down the days until YouTube restores my streaming capability. But here we are. And, I feel like a broken record. For those of you who are too young to remember, music used to be on vinyl. And they were these things you'd put on a turntable. And sometimes the record would get scratched. And the record would get stuck. And it would skip. And it would play the same thing over and over and over again. God, I feel old. But that I feel like that scratched record sometimes. When I say it's like with each day, the news gets stranger and stranger. So, I figured, all right, today we'll do a little recap of the vice presidential debate, which was, it was pretty awful. Talk about Donald Trump's fight with reality over his COVID infection, because he is infected. He is infected, but he's going out and making these videos where he says, I'm cured. It's a miracle. I've got a new miracle drug. It's not the hydroxychloroquine, which you should know he touted for months and months and months. And now when he's actually infected with the virus, he's nowhere near that drug because it is not indicated. So all those people who went out and bought hydroxychloroquine, suckers, losers. Yeah, if you look to a failed businessman, con man, just all around horrible person for your medical advice, instead of listening to the doctors and scientists, then you get what you deserve. But I digress. Today, shortly before noon, we were hit with a bombshell. A bombshell, as the Detroit News reported that the FBI says it thwarted a plot to violently overthrow the government and kidnap Michigan Governor Gretchen Whitmer. You got that? And the more you look into the story, the more you realize how really fucked up this is. Because it was back in August, maybe, that Donald Trump went on his Liberate Michigan kick. Remember that? And there was a gathering of Second Amendment nuts, meaning people carrying their guns, waving them around, threatening everybody in the vicinity, threatened to storm the Michigan State House, where the governor was in there doing her work. Why? Because they didn't like the precautions she was taking to protect her citizens against the coronavirus. So Donald Trump instigated this, all these low-life, white militia, white supremacist thugs showed up, because that's who they are. Let's be real with this. They may call themselves the militia. We don't have a militia in this country, unless you want to talk about the National Guard, which is what I believe the well-regulated militia mentioned in the Second Amendment refers to. But that's not the subject we're talking about today. No, today we're talking about what happened. And these people all came together that day outside the Michigan State House. And today, I think 12 or 13 of them were arrested. I think. Uh-oh. Here we go. Maybe. Oh.
It's being charged out of the West.
Here we go. Let's try it this way.
The plot and the arrest today being announced by federal authorities in a case that's being charged out of the Western District of Michigan. Six men charged with a single count of conspiracy to commit kidnapping. This investigation, according to the charging documents, began in early 2020 when the FBI began monitoring social media monitoring discussions of people that talked about the violent, quote, violent overthrow of government and certain governmental leaders. This investigation progressed through several months. The FBI, according to the charging documents today, was able to use undercover FBI agents as well as confidential human sources, more commonly referred to as informants, in this investigation. One of those informants came from a militia group in Michigan, Andrea, and as a result of that, they were able to speak with this person who came forward because they were concerned that the militia was seeking the addresses of police officers and wanted to kill police officers.
Oh, nice.
One of the militia groups that was kind of associated or tried to be brought in to be recruited by the people that were charged today in this plot to kidnap Governor Gretchen Whitmer was allegedly involved in that Second Amendment rally, one of those Second Amendment rallies that we saw at the Capitol in Michigan. Now, an important note here. Based on the charging documents and what we've seen, there was no imminent threat to the governor because this group was being well monitored by the FBI. They had these confidential human sources. They had undercover agents. And so it appears that there was no imminent threat to her, but certainly a lurid details and according to the charging documents, recorded conversations that tie all these men to this plot and some very disturbing details inside that complaint.
You think? Oh, my God. So, yeah, welcome to another insane day in the USA. Someone should write a song. Speaking of songs, I have so many songs to share with you. Oh, my goodness. And yesterday there was sort of a convergence of things. So I've got all these videos and songs pulled. Who knows? Maybe tomorrow we'll do a little musical interlude. I don't know, to end the week. But as after the show ended, I was informed by a couple of listeners that I missed the debut of a new Randy Rainbow video, but it's not just any Randy Rainbow video. Let me rewind the tape a bit and pull up one of the videos that I had pulled to share with you yesterday and never got around to it. This is this was produced, I want to make sure I'm right, by the Lincoln Project. Okay. And you'll hear it's a spoof on Evita. Don't, you know, cry for me, Argentina, because you remember Donald Trump came home from the hospital and he immediately did his own balcony scene. So they don't give anyone credit for singing in here. But when you listen to it, well, it really sounds an awful lot like Patti LuPone. Seriously. So let's listen to it, shall we? It's called COVIDA. Take it away, Lincoln Project. Here we go. Let me do that, and let me do that, and this.
Don't cry for me, White House staffers. The truth is I will infect you. All through my tweeting, my mad existence, I broke my promise, won't keep my distance. I always say too much. Never mind the thousands of lies I have told to you. As for wearing masks and acting sane, that is nothing that I will ever do. So don't cry for me, Secret Service, though COVID might just well kill you. Spread the virus. I broke my promise. Won't keep my distance.
The Lincoln Project is responsible for the content of this advertising.
I love the coughing at the end. That wasn't me. That was, you know, the Trump. So it sounded like Patti LuPone, right? Or maybe you're going, well, I don't remember exactly what Patti LuPone sounds like. Which brings me to this new video from Randy Rainbow. You'll understand why in a moment. All right, Randy Rainbow, take it away.
Back to the first presidential debate. Two queens stand before me.
Huh?
Gentlemen, before the time comes for you to lip sync for your lives, why don't we begin with some preliminary questions? Joe? How you doing?
Well, first of all...
Okay, I'm bored. Mr. President, here's a softball for you. Can I just get you to, if you don't mind, maybe condemn white supremacy real quick? Just...
Yeah?
Maybe you didn't.
He just pours gasoline in the fire, constantly.
Vice President
if
Biden,
you look at the polls, I'm doing better than any Republican has done in a long time because they saw what you did.
I'm having a panic attack.
You and me both.
Oh my God, Patty LuPone, what
it's
are you
Patty
doing
LuPone.
Here? I'm busy.
When gay men are in crisis, I just materialize.
Patty, I'm getting nervous. What if this gets reelected?
Not you. You got to think positive, doll. Imagine how much better life would be if Trump got dumped.
Shafted?
William Howard Tafted.
If Donald got fired, we could go back to life as we once knew it. Miserable and unfair, but at least without the daily threat of complete authoritarianism and apocalyptic destruction.
Wouldn't that be nice?
If Donald got fired according to plan, just think of the things I could do. I'd stop having nightmares about Kellyanne and finally sing songs about somebody new. If Donald got fired,
oh, yeah.
If Donald got fired, would that be sublime? I'd put down my bottles and balls. I'd be back on Broadway and belting Sondheim instead of cheap internet parody songs.
Excuse me, nothing.
If Donald got fired,
President Trump did a phenomenal job.
Donald, quit running your scam. There's nothing to tout.
You're no Abraham.
Donald, we're all in a jam. Please get the hell out and take Lindsey Graham. It would be so nice if he lost on election day.
I'd build him a new wall.
I'd pay for his U-Haul.
And I'd let Melania stay.
Really?
No. Oh, Donald, please go far away. If Donald got fired, there wouldn't be any more wreck. Less old complainy dick.
He will destroy this country.
No more smug elites.
Whee!
No more goddamn tweets.
Whee!
Fake news. Fake news.
Look, Daddy, I'm the worst president. Love me, love me.
Donald, the truth might be tough. The polls all project. We've all had enough.
Donald, don't stand there and scoff. With all due respect, please kindly fuck off.
I'm not going to do that.
I hope we choose right. The future's so dark and unknown.
There's nothing we cannot do if we do it together.
But there's no deciding. I'm riding with Biden.
I'm voting for Patty LuPone.
Yes,
queen! Oh, Donald! Oh, Donald! Oh, Donald! Just leave us alone!
Patty, I'm scared.
Girl, just vote.
Girl, just vote. Randy Rainbow does it again. That was a great one. And Patty LuPone, magnificent. And when you compare the vocals from those two productions, you can hear, I believe that was her on the whatchamacallit. I think we just lost our connection somewhere. I don't know to where. It looks like our video streaming is interrupted for some reason. I'm just going to pretend like all is normal. Hopefully we're still streaming video. I don't know what happened, but we're still here. And the audio, of course, is still going. So I'll tell you what we'll do. We'll take a quick time out for Progressive Voices Network and come right back with more of the Nicole Sandler Show. It is Thursday. Of course, we've got Howie Klein coming up. Don't go away. All right. Hopefully that works. Did it work? Yes. Okay. So they're in commercials. Are we still streaming? Oh, it looks like Twitch is off. It looks like, oh, shoot, Periscope is off. Facebook? Facebook, are you there? Facebook appears to be off as well. I wonder what happened. The connection to the Flash server. All right. Let me try. Oh, okay. It looks like we're back. At least, well, yeah. I don't know what's going on here. We were just fine. I got to hope it'll come back. Maybe, you know, it's Florida internet. All right. Video people, stand by. We should be back. It looks like it's trying to come back. But I'm here. In the meantime, if you want the audio stream, you can go directly to NicoleSandlerStream.com and you will get the audio. In the meantime, I guess we'll just keep going and hope it works. I hate it when this happens. Hate technical problems. All right. While I'm trying to figure out the problem, let me play one more song for you. This one I don't have a video for. It was... instead, this was from the late show. No, late show. James Corden, who follows Stephen Colbert on CBS, did this the other night. This is the reason I'm not playing the video, because I'd get copyright violated. But you can enjoy the audio while I try to figure out what the problem is. Here we go. Take it away, James Corden.
I just left Walter Reed Medical Center. And it's really something very special. The doctors, the nurses, the first responders. And I learned so much about coronavirus. And I know there's a risk, there's a danger, but that's okay. And now I'm better, and maybe I'm immune. I don't know.
Maybe I'm immune, 'cause today I'm feeling so alive. Just don't be afraid of the way I'm breathing. It's okay to go out for a ride with others trapped inside. Maybe you're immune to the lies my doctors tell you.
The fact of the matter is that he's doing really well.
Maybe I'm a man, and maybe I don't wear a mask, 'cause I don't care about others. Science I don't really understand.
Disinfectant, where it knocks it out in a minute. 1 minute, and is there a way we can do something like that by injection inside?
Maybe I'm a man, and maybe I'm just high from this experimental cocktail. Maybe I just need some oxygen. Just might lose this.
James Corden with his best Paul McCartney imitation. Maybe I'm immune to the tune of Maybe I'm Amazed. It looks like we're good on Periscope. So if you go to, or maybe not, it looks to be still on the old screen. Periscope, there we go. Periscope.tv/Nicole Sandler. You should be able to get the video. It looks like, I don't know what's up with Facebook and Twitch. They're both not quite working correctly. So anyway, we'll just keep going because it's a radio show first and foremost, and it's live. So I'll tell you what, with no further ado, let's get to some of the other crazy, crazy news that's happening today. All right, so I told you how the day started. We found out, obviously, about the kidnapping attempt on the governor of Michigan by some of Trump's very fine people who, consider themselves self-styled militiamen. Yeah. Well, also today, we found out that the Commission on Presidential Debates announced this morning that the next one scheduled for next Thursday, a week from today, October 15th, would, instead of the town hall meeting that was scheduled for Miami, it would be a virtual town hall meeting. So the moderator and the questioners would still be in Miami at the Arsht Center, but Biden and Trump would appear remotely on video. And remember, Donald Trump just announced that he's positive for COVID-19 less than a week ago. So within an hour or so of the announcement, Donald Trump appeared on Fox Business with Maria Bartiromo, and he said this.
I heard that the commission a little while ago changed the debate style, and that's not acceptable to us. I beat him easily in the first debate.
What polls did you see?
I felt I beat him easily. I think he felt it, too. He wouldn't answer any questions, and he had the protection of Chris Wallace all night long. I thought Chris Wallace was a disaster.
Yeah, you're a disaster.
I beat him in the first debate.
All right, shut up. So that's the thing. I'm not going to do it. I think he gets
that's
back
okay,
to
okay, because I'd beat him in the second.
Oh, shut up. All right, he's still going. Basically, he said he will not. Yeah, let me go to the end of this.
Virtual, are you saying you're not going to participate?
No, I'm not going to waste my time on a virtual debate. That's not what debating's all about. You sit behind a computer and do a debate. It's ridiculous. And then they cut you off whenever they want.
Hey, moron, your campaign agreed to the rules. You were breaking the rules when you butted in anytime you wanted. That's how a debate works. There are time constraints. You're supposed to stay within those parameters. But you want to know how delusional the man is. He also, on this rambling interview with Maria Bartiromo, Boobs Bartiromo, as she's known to those of us who saw her at the Al Smith dinner 4 years ago. Some images you just can't erase from your mind. Anyway, Donald Trump also said this to her.
I'm back because I'm a perfect physical specimen and I'm extremely young.
Now, all right, I know he wasn't trying to be serious there, but seriously? Oy. Well, since then, since this morning, they've gone back and forth. Donald Trump says, I'm not doing a remote debate. I'm not doing it. And then he says, we'll do it on the 29th. We'll push everything back a week, basically. And then Biden says, no, we're not. The final debate will be October 22nd. And he submits that they push the town hall debate, which was scheduled for next Thursday, back to the 22nd. Obviously, they're not agreeing on anything. And regardless, I'm sorry, until Donald Trump has a number of negative coronavirus tests under his belt, there should be no in-person debates. There shouldn't have been one last night. Period. Mike Pence has been exposed in these super spreader events at the White House. There's no way that Kamala Harris should have been anywhere near him last night. That said, hopefully they're all still safe. Mike Pence was supposed to travel to Indiana tomorrow, and all of a sudden that trip has been canceled, just canceled, leading us to wonder what's going on. Anyway, so last night was this first and only debate between the two vice presidential nominees, and Mehdi Hasan has a new show on NBC's new streaming channel, Peacock, and I guess had a special edition last night after the debate, and he fact-checked Mike Pence's 10 most egregious lies. Here's what Mehdi Hasan said.
Well, Zelina, I'm glad you mentioned Pence's lies, because I think it's time for a bit of a fact check. We all know that Donald Trump can't tell the truth. How did his number two, Mike Pence, do tonight? Here are my top 10 whoppers from the vice presidential debate. At the outset of the debate, the vice president said Donald Trump put a ban on travel from China. He said it again later in the debate. It's false. There was no ban. More than 40,000 people flew from China into the U.S. in the 2 months after that so-called ban was put in place. The vice president said Donald Trump has been standing up to China from the outset of this crisis. A lie. He said the Chinese were doing a, quote, very good job fighting the virus, in fact. The vice president said the administration always warned there could be 200,000 dead. We always warned that would be the case. False. The president in February said the cases would soon go down to zero. Zero. The vice president said the strategic national stockpile was empty when they came into office. False. They inherited 19,000 ventilators from the Obama administration. The vice president said the White House event to celebrate Judge Amy Coney Barrett's nomination to the Supreme Court was an outdoor event. Yeah, but there were indoor events too, without masks, on camera. Yeah. Don't believe your own lying eyes. The vice president said Joe Biden plans to end fracking. If only, Mike Pence. If only, but false. No, Biden will allow, sadly, existing fracking to continue. The vice president said, quote, Joe Biden has been a cheerleader for communist China for decades. That's just too dumb to even fact check. The vice president said he and Trump have a plan to protect pre-existing conditions. False. The Trump administration has literally been in court trying to scrap protection for pre-existing conditions. The vice president said President Trump reveres all of you who serve in the armed forces. He said, looking down the barrel of the camera. Lie. The late John McCain, among others, may disagree with that. Finally, the biggest lie of the night from the vice president, that he and Donald Trump have always told the truth to the American people. Ha! If you believe that, I have a Trump Tower to sell you. More than 20,000. That's how many lies the fact checkers say Trump has told. And Mike Pence added to that list tonight, sadly.
Mike Pence added to that list tonight, sadly. One of the best comments about Mike Pence's performance came from Nicole Wallace. Sometimes she just comes out with a quickie, so you got to pay attention.
Vice President Pence appeared flaccid.
Flaccid. That's a good that's a good description. Oh, one last thing. So Nancy Pelosi had her little press gathering this morning, and she made one very provocative announcement. She said this.
Well, I don't know what the prospects are when we hear people saying I'm young and I'm a perfect specimen, instead of addressing the fact that, what, 50,000 people were infected, reported to be infected yesterday, nearly 1,000 people died. What are we talking about here? Tomorrow, by the way, come here tomorrow.
Yeah.
We're going to be talking about the 25th Amendment, but not to take attention away from the subject we have now.
That's a big thing to put out there and then let it go. But apparently what that was all about, and it has Donald all freaking out because this is all he's been tweeting about for the last couple of hours. Nancy Pelosi and Jamie Raskin are going to hold a press conference tomorrow to announce the introduction of legislation to establish a commission on presidential capacity. That's seriously, that is the it's official. I saw something that had a text of the release they sent out that I can't find now. But the same reporter who released this, this is not a coup. Donald Trump is trying to say they're planning a coup. It's not a coup. Kyle Griffin, an NBC producer who tweeted this out, said this is not how the 25th Amendment works. Implementing a constitutional amendment is not a coup. A few other tidbits that Kyle Griffin tweeted out that I should share with you. Mitch McConnell says he's avoided the White House since the beginning of August because of COVID mismanagement. He said their approach to how to handle this is different from mine. Boy, all these Republicans, they just put themselves first, don't they? And then the White House communications director, whoever that may be, I guess it's the only person in the press office who isn't infected with COVID right now. Anyway, during a gaggle with reporters, this person refused to reveal when Donald Trump last tested negative for the coronavirus. She said, quote, the doctors would like to keep it private. This is a concern because now we're hearing that there has been no daily testing at the White House, despite their pronouncements otherwise. They said the president was getting tested daily. No, he hasn't been. And apparently it's because he complained that they were too painful. So we don't know when the last time he had a negative test. We don't know when he was actually diagnosed. We don't know anything. And yet this administration dares to call itself transparent. It's hysterical. But it goes to, you know, what I talked about yesterday, my ongoing thesis of opposite world. Anyway, opposite world or not, we've reached that time of the week. So with no further ado, somebody mix up those Dirty Debbies, please.
Are you a multinational corporation hungry for a treat? Well, come on down to Schmucky Chucky's, where you'll personally be seated by Chuck Schumer himself.
So many dishes, and they're all fresh.
You're gonna love our Blue Dog special, the Dino Burger, because we say so.
A good hamburger and french fries.
And every burger comes with a side order of...
grits. I love grits. I love anything with corn. It's corn.
All for only $50,000. Wash it all down with a Dirty Debbie.
9/10 water, 1/10 oranges. After a week or two, you drink this, it's 200 calories and it's acetic.
And wipe your mouth with a tissue print of Glass-Steagall. For dessert, try our DNC tarts.
Little cookies, tell the quality of that.
Most restaurants give you a mint, but at Schmucky Chucky's, you get complimentary.
Sweet and low.
Who picks up the tab for all this? Find out now with Howie Klein of DownWithTyranny.com on The Nicole Sandler Show.
Hello, Howie Klein.
Hi, Nicole. How are you doing?
I'm okay. How are you?
Good also.
Good. Glad to hear it. You know, every Thursday I call you, and it seems like I open up with, can you believe this shit that's going on? Today, it's, I mean, in addition to everything else, upwards of 12 people arrested for a plot to kidnap the governor of Michigan and overthrow the government.
Those horrible Antifa people, something must be done about them.
Exactly. You know, I got to tell you, tomorrow, I recorded an interview today with the author of a new book called Strong Man. It's about the rise of five dictators and the fall of democracy. And this guy who wrote it, Kenneth C. Davis, is really fascinating. And so, you know, I brought up, we taped it, and actually I think I'm going to use it tomorrow on the broadcast. I'm guest hosting for Brad Friedman again tomorrow. So I may just run it on that show because it's a long interview and it's really good. And anyway, so I brought up, you know, the fascism and the president's protestations against Antifa and how it doesn't make sense. And he looked in the camera and he said, you know, my father was Antifa and he volunteered to fight after the bombing of Pearl Harbor. And it's like, yes. And he just went. This just lends itself to my opposite world theory. They don't know what the hell they're talking about.
Well, maybe they do. I mean, that's part of his, what do you call it? You know, blowing smoke up everyone's ass. What do you call that again?
Gaslighting.
Yes, thank you. That's part of his gaslighting. You take what's the obvious truth and you turn it around into some other kind of bizarro world. I mean, Antifa means anti-fascism. Yes. That's what this country is.
Right.
We are an anti-fascist country. We went and fought the fascists in Germany and beat them, and the fascists in Italy and beat them, and the fascists in Japan, and we beat them. And now Trump is trying to turn America into a fascist state and make anti-fascists into the enemy when it's his supporters who are like literally trying to kidnap a governor.
That he
to the heavens for weeks.
Right.
He has
and then
said pretty horrible things about him, about her.
Yep.
That of course his supporters feel animus towards her.
Right. And then he tweets out liberate Michigan to bring all these armed crazies to the Michigan State House where they were surrounding the place like an armed coup some months ago. The police did nothing about it. They threatened to storm her office. Well, it was at that gathering that all these lovely people, very fine people, as Donald Trump would refer to them, met.
Yep.
Yeah. So, wow. Wow.
Wouldn't it be great if he decided to pardon them?
Well, look, the McCluskeys, the two, the husband and wife from St. Louis, who thought they had to brandish their weapons as peaceful protesters marched past their St. Louis home because they were in fear for their lives. Donald Trump tried to make a hero of them, gave them a prime speaking slot at the Republican convention while they were just indicted the other day for, you know, for brandishing weapons.
And now he's he says he's I mean, it's an open secret in D.C., but he's finally admitting that he's going to fire Christopher Wray, the head of the FBI.
Unbelievable, because he told the truth. And he said there is no evidence that mail-in ballots are problematic in the slightest. They've been using them for years and years, and some states decades, and they're fine. There's no voter fraud by mail. It's not happening.
Right. Well, I mean, did you watch the that film, The Comey Rule?
We saw some of it. I haven't seen the second part yet. I thought it was kind of heavy-handed.
The first part just sets up the second part. Ah. You don't even need to watch the first part.
Really? Okay.
The second part is amazing. You've got to watch it. It's really good. The first part's okay. You know, if you want to know about Comey, that's, you know, it's
right.
Fine. But the second part is about Trump.
Ooh. Okay. Yeah. Well, it's on the DVR.
There's a scene in it. It's the primary scene in the whole thing. It's called the loyalty dinner. I don't want to give anything away, but it just shows a really disgustingly ugly mob boss. And the ugliness isn't what the actor necessarily really looks like. They just made him look like a monster, like a monster.
Mm-hmm.
And the idea was you can't really – it's hard to portray on a film what someone looks like on the inside. I mean, the actor did a good job at that as well, and the director was great. But they just tried to make the actor that played Trump into, like, the ugliest, nightmarish person you could think of. And he's sitting there with Comey demanding loyalty, not loyalty to the United States of America, of course Comey pledged.
Right.
But personal loyalty to himself, and in the end, when he fired Comey, that was why, and that's why he's going to fire Christopher Wray now, the head of the FBI. And he was carrying on and screaming like a maniac today about Pompeo has let him down and Barr has let him down.
Really,
they're not going after his enemies, and Pompeo didn't find Hillary Clinton's letters. He's still talking about her emails.
Wow, this is a man, and it sets up for good reason what Nancy Pelosi did. First, he goes on with Maria Boobs Bartiromo this morning, and says, "Did you hear this quote? I'm back." Because I'm perfect and I'm young or some nonsense like that. And then Nancy Pelosi teased that come back tomorrow, we'll be talking about the 25th Amendment. And I later find out that she and Jamie Raskin are holding a press conference to announce the introduction of legislation to establish a commission on presidential capacity.
Great. And you know what? I don't know if you know Jamie or not. I've known him for
years.
Only
through you. Yes.
Jamie was the general counsel for People for the American Way. That's how I know him. This is when he was in the Maryland State Legislature, so long before he ever got elected to Congress. And there is no one in Congress. This is why he's a relatively junior member, and this is why he's appearing next to Nancy Pelosi on this. There is no one in Congress who knows as much about the U.S. Constitution as Jamie Raskin. He is a constitutional scholar. That's his thing. You want to know something obscure about the Constitution?
Sure.
Go to Jamie Raskin.
Oh, okay.
So she's got the right person to be doing this with.
Very cool. Well, good. Because, look, by all rights, Donald Trump is on drugs that alter your mind. He should not be making any decisions. And so, you know, he should have, when he went into the hospital because he was diagnosed with COVID-19, temporarily given the controls to Mike Pence. But he's so paranoid that I guess he'll never do that.
You know, I don't think I sent you this at all. And I don't think it's out on my blog yet. I'm pretty sure it's not. I think it's coming out probably in a few hours. But I wrote a post about how when I was on heavy drugs because of my cancer treatments a few years ago, the one thing that everyone in LA knows, and only novices don't know this, do not invest in a movie because it's not investing. It's just a tax fraud. You invest in the movie loses money, and you get to write some of it off. That's what that is. And I have avoided that the whole time I've lived in L.A. I've never invested in a movie. I have opportunities I used to have opportunities all the time. And when it got around that I was on cancer, some hustlers came to my house and talked me into investing a lot of money in their movie.
Oh, no.
I was so out of it that I didn't know what I was doing. You know, they knew how to play up to someone who was sick. And someone who is, I was like on another planet. I mean, it's not the same. You're not the same person. And I invested all this money in this like horrible, unbelievably horrible movie.
I did.
To say, lost every penny of it.
Yes, I think you did post it because I read that story and I can't remember the post that I read it in, but I did read it and laughed today. But yes, you did post it. But you did send me a post earlier today that I guess you have going up about, we'll call them religious zealots, because you have another post already up at downwithtyranny.com dealing with Amy Coney Barrett and her odd...
Call her Amy Coney Island.
Amy Coney Island. And her very odd, sect of Catholicism and cult. It's because it's not Catholicism.
It's Joe Biden's... nothing to do with Catholicism.
Nothing.
The Catholic Church disowned them when they started. I mean, they call it Catholic, but it's not. It's just a crazy cult. It's more like, and I use a lot of this, the Handmaid's Tale.
Yes,
that's what it's
right.
Like.
Did you watch that series on, I guess it was on Hulu? If not, you must, because of course you did. Other people must. And it's everywhere now. It was, when it first started, it was in the first year or two of Trump's reign of terror. And I started watching it and I had to stop because I was fighting a massive depression and this was hitting too close to home. And I was having anxiety watching it. And finally, when I started getting a little better, I went back to it and watched. It's terrifying, but it's so, and how creepy is it that the new United States is called Gilead, which is one of these drug companies that's balking us for everything. And the fact is the handmaids, that's what they call the women in this. What are they called? The practice of, I forget the name of the group that she belongs to, this cult.
In other words, they call
people of praise.
She was a handmaid.
People of praise is the group.
A handmaid.
Yes.
And when we're talking about she, just to be clear, everyone should know, we're talking about
Amy Coney Barrett.
Trump's nomination for the Supreme Court.
Right.
Amy Coney Barrett or Coney Island or whatever you want to call her.
Yes. And the group is People of Praise, and their women were handmaids. That's where Margaret Atwood got the term from. So this is the crazy cult we're talking about, where she also believes that women are subservient to men. So how can she sit on the Supreme Court? Does she have to consult with her husband before she makes a decision?
I wouldn't be surprised. If you want to know how she got on the Supreme Court, I mean, what better could the nuts around Trump want?
Yep.
I mean, in return for their support for him, they want something, and that's what they want. There could not be a worse candidate. The whole time that everyone was saying, well, these are the probable people that Trump is looking at, all you had to do is look at the list and say, okay, well, whose is the worst one of all? They're all terrible. Every one of them would get an F grade. Every one of them was like the worst possible nominee. They were just a horrible bunch, but there's got to be one who's worse than anyone else. And it was her. So, of course, I knew immediately she would be the nominee.
Right. And she is. And they're trying to push this thing through. Ron Johnson, who's got the COVID, is saying, I don't care if I have to go in a moon suit. I'll go in and vote her in. It's heinous. But I bring this up because the post that you sent me today is about another ridiculous religious sect. And this is in New York, and it's the Hasidic sect. They're based in Brooklyn, or some of them are in Queens. And it seems that these outbreaks...
In Israel, by the way.
And in Israel, oh yes. And the outbreaks, though, that we're hearing about in New York that are causing them to consider shutting down certain areas of the city again are due to mostly these people who don't believe in social distancing, don't believe in taking precautions, don't believe in masks. They're on top of one another. Hasidim are, you know, I had a Twitter conversation with a listener, Joe, last night, who asked, he said, this is kind of an offhanded question, but why is there anti-Semitism? What is it? Why are there anti-Semites? What is it about Jews that people don't like? He said, I can get the homophobia and racism because there are like things that you can glom onto and say those people are different from us. All I can say is, first of all, Judaism is a wide ranging thing. As there are many sects in Catholicism, so are there in Judaism. There are people like me who are cultural Jews. My family's Jewish. I don't practice any religion, but I still consider myself an atheist Jew. I'm still Jewish. But then there are the Hasidic. And
there's someone like me, a Christian Jew.
Right. And there are a number of them.
I was born a Jew and I completely believe in Jesus.
Wow.
And have nothing to do with Catholicism or Protestantism or anything. It's just me and Jesus. And I'm a Jew.
Wow. By the way, just a totally off, non sequitur. But Dave, have you ever seen the movie, the Monty Python movie, Life of Brian?
Of course.
Okay,
oh, my God, I love that movie.
One of my favorite all-time movies. Just, you said you like Jesus. So that to me is that's my take on Jesus. But anyway, neither here nor there. But the Hasidic in Brooklyn, they're a hot spot. And so the mayor is just looking at shutting them down. What? And you have a whole post going up about them. And these people are truly nuts.
Do you know what country in the world has the worst COVID outbreak, which, you know, the worst. So it's the way you measure COVID, since one country could have, like, you know, 500 million people and one country could have 2 million people.
Right.
And you want to measure COVID, what you look at is the per capita
sure.
number.
Based on the population, the percentage of the population.
The residents.
Right.
So you know what country has the very worst one?
Israel?
Israel. And you know why Israel has the
because
worst?
Because of the Hasidim.
And the Israelis are trying to shut down the Hasidic areas, and the Hasidics are going crazy. And since they have control of the government, in other words, if they withdraw from the government collapses. They are forcing the Netanyahu's government to not shut their areas down, and Israel is out of control in terms of pandemic. I mean, Israel's first wave was very minor. They did well. I mean, it's a science, supposedly it's a science loving country, and they did everything they're supposed to do, and they shut down well. The Hasidic, of course, you know, they're primitive people right out of a cave. They're just like the snake handlers and the talking in tongues people from Arkansas and Tennessee, same mentality, and they don't believe in any kind of science, and what they believe is that they're better than everybody else,
mm-hmm.
and if everybody else is going to get sick because of their behavior, who cares?
Right?
They don't. These are horrible primitive people, and they're living in the 21st century among us. It's very scary. So if your friend wants to know why there's anti-Semitism, there are a few reasons for that, and this is part of it. Another, by the way, is it was taught for years and years and years. Anti-Semitism was taught because, you know, the claim was that the Jews killed Jesus.
Right. That's what I said in very simplistic terms, while also saying I'm the wrong person to ask. But I guess that's what it goes back to. And then David and I were talking about it last night, and he's more schooled on these things than I am. And he said, yeah, well, it was actually the Romans who, you know, yeah. like Trump, told Michael Cohen to go out and do something. It's like, I know you'll do the right thing. That's kind of what the Romans did to the Jews. Basically, you're going to go kill Jesus. It's out of my hands. It's up to you. And the Jews killed Jesus. But apparently,
the Romans who killed Jesus, they crucified him.
Right.
The Jews
stood,
you know,
by and did nothing.
Up.
Yeah.
Yeah. But the Romans had control, and they were also the ones who did it.
Yeah.
So, I mean, the reality was it wasn't the Jews and it wasn't the Romans. It was the ruling class of Judaism, the crazy fanatic religious nuts who controlled the religion. So it was them. It wasn't the Jewish people
who
killed Jesus.
And it was also an offshoot.
It was the Roman people.
No.
But it was the imperialistic occupiers of Palestine.
Right. And then the Jews, because they were originally Jews, because Judaism is much older than Christianity, they followed Jesus. They are no longer Jews. They're now Christians. And they had a really good PR campaign, a marketing campaign, to say, we're the religion you want to follow now. Screw those Jews.
Right. But remember, that happened over the course of centuries. And at first, for quite some time, the Christians were just considered a Jewish sect. Hmm. That's what they were, a Jewish sect. And they accepted themselves as that as well. They didn't really think of themselves at first as a separate religion. Eventually they did, of course. But and eventually they became the Roman religion as well, by the way. And they the whole thing merged into a nightmare for everybody who came in their path. But we got way, way off track
here.
We were talking about
the
Hasidic in Brooklyn.
Yes.
And we went off into the history of the Roman Empire.
Right.
But the Hasidic right now are literally, rioting in the streets because they don't want their neighborhoods closed down. Now,
De Blasio?
De Blasio suggested to Cuomo that they close down 9 zip codes.
Right.
And most of them, but not all of them, are in our Hasidic neighborhoods. But they're not all Hasidic neighborhoods,
okay.
But most of them
most
are.
Most of them.
And it's not based on who lives there, per se, what religion or sect or cult or anything. It's based on the numbers. What is the number of people who have COVID? So, in other words, if it's anything that's over, I think it was over 3%,
mm-hmm.
there was some rate they were looking
right,
for.
Right.
And one of these zip code areas, I think Borough Park, is at 30%.
Oh, my.
So, what they're saying is, I think it's 3%. They're saying any area that's double the 3%. So, in other words, if you're at 6%, those are the areas that we're going to close down in terms of restaurants and all public gatherings. And the Hasidics instead, or some of them, not obviously not all of them, I hope I'm not giving any impression that I think it's all Hasidic,
mm-hmm.
but it's just some radical, insane people, by the way, who are completely Trump fanatics.
Oh,
totally
yes.
Trump fanatics. I mean, the videos are shocking because they're running around yelling and screaming and carrying on, and everyone is carrying a big Trump flag.
Yeah.
But in any case, when I say rioting, I mean like beating up members of the press, beating up other Hasidics who are trying to talk sense into these people. These are extreme, extreme right-wing lunatics. There's there's one particularly radio talk show host who could have guessed who's trying to use this to run for office.
Oh God!
And he's saying that the police are rounding up Jews and throwing them into camps.
What?
I mean, that's just all these people have to hear.
Right.
I mean, like I said, these are not the brightest bulbs. When I finished the post, it's for tomorrow, by the way.
Okay.
And when
all
I
right.
finished writing the post, I went back and started writing more. And I don't know if you have the stuff that I wrote at the end of it. But I'm trying to explain not just about Hasidics, but about religious fanatics.
Yes.
What we know about them. And, and there are a lot of things that we know about them. And one of them is that, obviously they think all of them think they're the chosen people. You could do anything, by the way, because God is on your side.
Right.
And if God is on your side, whatever you do, it's in God's name. So
yep.
whatever, it's murder, killing children, raping, whatever you do, God's on your side, you could do it.
Mm-hmm.
So it's all this kind of thing, and that's how these people are too. And they feel very, very comfortable with the extremist evangelicals. They love Amy Coney Bryant. They think she's Barrett. They think she's going to be a great Supreme Court judge. They're all about it. Now, I just want to make sure that people understand that it's just a small minority of Jews
right.
who support Trump. I mean, I think, I don't remember what the percentage was, but it's 28%, something like that, of Jews support Trump. Most Jews, between 70 and 80% of Jews are adamantly opposed to Trump.
Yes, as they should be. Sorry.
But one of the problems with the Hasidics and other cults like this, when young people are get drawn into these cults or are born into these cults, in the Hasidic case they'd be born into them,
yeah.
the ones with a a normal IQ, in other words, not people who have 90 IQs or 80 IQs.
Right.
And I'm not saying anything bad about someone with an 80 IQ. I mean, there are lots of people that have 80 IQs, but the ones who have normal kinds of IQs, they get out. They realize what this is all about. I mean, you try a little critical thinking when you're in one of these cults, and they throw you out.
Yeah.
But, you know, if you have a brain, you get out of these cults. And what does that mean? That means you're left with all the morons, and that's the gene pool, because they would never marry outside of the cult.
Never.
You have to other people in the cult.
Right.
And so here you are, like, you know, basically interbreeding with people with very low IQs, just like yourself, and so the cult gets stupider and stupider as time goes on.
Right.
Sorry if anyone thinks I'm talking about all Hasidics. I'm not.
Nope.
And sorry for even bringing it up.
But this is in the morning
at downwithtyranny.com.
This is an important issue, and it's playing out in the news right now. I was watching either CNN or MSNBC earlier today, and they had a story on it, and they had a reporter that I believe you quoted in that article on the air, who is Hasidic, but he's not militant. He's not part of their sect, but he lives in, I don't know if it was Borough Park or Williamsburg or one of the Hasidic, you know, areas. And he was saying that they're coming after him.
They have their own ghettos that they've created.
They do.
Just so people know.
Yep. They do. It's frightening. And again, it's not only the Hasidim. That's just the sect of the Jewish religion that, for instance, again, I'm Jewish. I don't relate to them at all. Just like there are different sects or cults in other religions, as these people of praise might be to the Catholic Church.
But at least the Catholic Church disowned them.
Right.
I mean, Amy Coney Island is in a crazy, insane religion. It's not a Catholic religion.
Okay.
It's just a crazy religion in and of itself. And if you want to know about it, watch the TV show, because that's what it's all about. Of course, obviously, the TV show is more dramatic.
Oh, you're talking about The Handmaid's Tale.
Yeah, The Handmaid's Tale.
Okay.
It's more dramatic, but that's what it's about. It's her story.
Yeah, it is frightening. And yet it goes on. And that,
report.
Right, and these are the people, you know, and then the word around Washington, you can't question Amy Comey Barrett about her religion. Why not? If that's going to govern how she decides cases, how she rules, of course you should be able to.
How she has been using it to decide cases.
Uh-huh. I think it's
a perfectly
fair question.
You know, she has a record of writing about this stuff. I mean, you know, and Trump is putting her on for two reasons: to kill Obamacare and to kill Roe v. Wade. And if they vote for her, that's what's going to happen. And any senator who votes, it's not even just votes for her. Any senator that doesn't do his or her job to prevent that, you know, they should lose their jobs. And that means no one should vote for them again.
Well,
now. Today, I got a senator tweeted at me, you know, what do you expect the Senate to do? And I said, you know, there are lots and lots of delaying tactics that are childish and disgusting and horrifying, and the Republicans would do them in one damn second.
Yep.
But the Democrats, they would never stoop that low to do something that low and to make fools of themselves, and that's why they lose. And, you know, how about taking a bucket of diarrhea and pouring it on the head of Mitch McConnell when he walks into the room and seeing what happens? That'll delay it a day.
Oh, yeah, it would. By the way, did you hear the news bulletin today that Mitch McConnell has not been to the White House since the beginning of August because of the way they handled the coronavirus? He's scared.
Yep, and he should be.
I don't know
if you saw this video the other day of him falling. Did you see that?
No, I'll have to look for that.
He tried to get up on a little stage that was like half an inch off the ground, and he fell, and then he couldn't get up.
Oh my God!
And you could just see from his face and from the way it was shot in real time on someone's cell phone that he's really, really frail. I mean, I can see why he wouldn't go to the White House. This guy is like one step away from death. And, you know, I'm not saying that how far a senator is going to go, they have to decide themselves, and I'm not advocating anybody kill him.
Right.
But it really is important to stop her. This is not a joke.
No, it's not a joke.
Getting on the Supreme Court is absolutely crucial. And if these senators can't figure out a way to do that, they should go home and let Adam Christensen become a senator instead.
Absolutely. He'll from Florida. Without a doubt, this is the one thing they have to do. And my goodness, they're given tools. I mean, Donald Trump and half of his staff has COVID-19. They need to shut this down. Stop this nomination from going through. That's their one job between now and the end of the year. I know they think it's to get reelected, but honestly, it's to keep her from sitting on the Supreme Court. Howie Klein, with that, we're out of time. Fascinating discussion today. Thank you, as always.
Thank you, too. I had fun.
Good. I'll talk to you next week. And I'll see you tomorrow. Bye, everyone.